Welcome to yet another Thursday. I'm Jake. He's Odd Stuff, and she's Riff. I got that wrong.
Yeah. Damn it.
I should have been like, I'm Jake, he's Riff, and she's Hot Stuff.
You'd still be wrong.
Hot Stuff says I'd be wrong.
Yeah.
We're identifying voices here. It's important for our first-time listeners.
Yeah, well, so then you don't introduce us. We
first-time
introduce
listener,
ourselves.
Long-time caller.
Wait, what?
First-time listener, ring around the collar.
None of the things you are saying make any
first
sense.
First-time caller, ring around the rosy.
First-time caller is like the first criminal cop arrests.
Yeah, cool. You never forget your first time, I've heard. How you been, Riff? How you been, Hot Stuff?
Been all right, been all right.
Are we answering for both of us?
Yes.
Yeah, I've been okay.
No, actually, Hot Stuff, how has Riff been?
Riff's been fine, I think. His parents were here, and we hung out with them some.
It's true. It's true. I went and saw Clash of the Titans, in which no Titans actually clash.
What, seriously?
Yep.
Wait, really?
Was it terrible?
Despite the fact that the tagline for the movie was, Titans will clash, there is no actual clashing of Titans.
Wow, that is really depressing.
I mean, there were no Titans clashing in the first one, right?
Like, yeah. I've not seen the first movie, but
You haven't seen Clash of the Titans?
I've not. No.
Wow.
No
wonder you don't have the boner that I have for skeletons. That's funny, because boner.
Because of boner.
Skeleton,
yeah,
that is kind of funny.
Bone,
very appropriate.
The idea of a movie which was the Titans versus the Greek gods would, I think, be really awesome, right? Because that seems like just such a cool, epic struggle and fight, right? Like, I don't know. That seems really neat to me. And for it to actually not be about that at all.
But I mean, Clash of the Titans was sort of about a dude who had to do some stuff.
The title, to me, implies not knowing anything about it, implies the sort of...
Titans fighting one another what I would think.
Oh, no, it would be the Titans fighting the Greek gods. Because, the Titans existed before the Greek gods, right?
Right.
Properly speaking, the Titans don't even appear in the movie.
Well, wow. Don't they? Isn't the Kraken a Titan?
See, that's the issue up for debate, I think. You know? is the Kraken a Titan? Can you call the Medusa a Titan?
Medusa is not supposed to. Medusa
is not
she's
really
a Gorgon.
A Titan.
Yeah. She's named after her.
If you were in a mechanic school and they asked you to tighten a screw and you Krakened it instead, do you think that you would get a D or an F?
F minus.
I gave one of Hot Stuff's jokes an F minus. So I did. It's awesome going out to dinner with Riff's dad because that's one of the few times that I can get a laugh out of the line. I think you're thinking of Damocles, not Demosthenes.
Did you say that?
I did.
I didn't hear you.
He laughed, and I also made fun of him for talking a lot, and it was okay. His wife laughed. He had said, because he's about to retire, and he had said that he was practicing the skills necessary to be a Walmart greeter, and I said, you know, I have a feeling if you were a greeter at Walmart, there'd be a line out the door, because it would take you so long to finish greeting every person that walked in. And,
wow.
Yeah, but I mean, it was good-natured ribbing.
Yeah, no, that's good. Yeah. That's funny.
I you know, in fact, the ribbing that I did entertained Riff's mom, so you might say that I was ribbed for Riff's mom's pleasure.
Oh, damn.
Riff's dad was ribbed. Was
right, Riff's dad was ribbed
not
for Riff's
mom's
pleasure. Yeah, I should have restructured the joke that way, but I was afraid I was going to fuck it up.
Yeah. That was Saturday night.
It was a good dinner.
That
damn,
was an awesome restaurant.
Oh, man. Yeah. I was going to tell the pooping story, but I probably shouldn't tell the pooping story.
There's a story?
No, because remember I told you the pooping story, because for whatever reason I hadn't pooped for a few days. And
oh, right.
So we had some very, very spicy soup.
Yes.
And so then a couple days later, I took a really long dump. I took a dump that was like 3 or 4 days worth of food, and it was really obvious when I got to the point of that night. I was like, meat.
Oh my God.
No, I know. Man, that soup was spicy, and man, that soup was fucking good.
It was.
Tom Ka guy.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it twice. And now all of our listeners get to enjoy it once.
Thank God.
Anyway.
Then on Monday, I went rock climbing and ripped all kinds of skin off of my hands.
Yeah, man, you got some fucking war zone.
It's really kind
of
gross.
Sides of your fingers, yeah.
It doesn't hurt that much.
It's like some Phantasmagoria shit. No, some Fangoria shit. Fangoria was the magazine, right?
I think so.
Phantasmagoria was the video game, I think.
It was a video game, but it was also a name for a thing, right? Like, a Phantasmagoria was a thing. Like a Nickelodeon.
Was it?
Yeah. Huh. Like, the word Phantasmagoria means something, and it means something like turn-of-the-century style. I don't remember what it is, but you're going to look it up.
I am right now.
I remember that video game had some boobs in it.
A pre-cinema projection ghost show invented in France in the late 18th century.
Late 18th century?
Yep.
Wow, so I had the century of which it was the turn wrong. Hey, Riff, have you been continuing to play that Echo Bazaar?
I have. The shine is starting to wear off on it a little bit.
Yeah.
It's cool. I like the writing, but it's like having a delicious sandwich that you're only allowed to take a tiny bite of every hour.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's like you don't want the sandwich not to exist, but you kind of want to just go eat something else.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've not played it, and just listening to other people talk about it and like looking at people playing it a little bit, it has zero appeal to me.
Yeah. The setting is phenomenal. I don't know if we talked about this last week at all.
I don't know.
We probably didn't because Riff was not on the radio last week.
That's true.
EchoBazaar.failbettergames.com.
Yeah, you can just, yeah, it's weird.
FailBetterGames.com,
yeah. So I feel like they are definitely doing it as, they started out doing it as an entrepreneurial enterprise.
Okay.
Is anything entrepreneurial an enterprise? Like, is an entrepreneur someone who undertakes an enterprise? Is that, like, etymologically what that means?
I don't think so.
Because they're similar.
They are similar.
Right. So I think they did it as a, you know, I see, it's a profit thing. The jerk. I don't know that that's the exact line. I need to actually memorize that entire movie so that I can cite it recognizably.
That would require us being able to recognize.
They described themselves. The guy has in his blog that he keeps, the development blog, described it as a startup. So I feel like their goal is to make some money.
Yeah, I think it's also sort of a beta thing for a different game they want to do in the same setting later. Like, maybe this is a simpler version of the real game that they want to make or something.
It's beta, but it's, I don't know, I mean, that doesn't necessarily mean that they're
going to do something drastically different. Brief mentions of another game for later called Prisoner's Honey.
Huh.
That.
Oh, yeah. No, I did see a thing about that. So, the setting is fucking great.
Yeah.
And the writing is really good, but it's a little anemic. Like, what I'm seeing lately is when I go to play, it's also, the turns are doled out in a very frustrating way. The way that I described this when I was first talking to people in dev about it is, like, there is a continuum, and Mafia Wars is on one end, Mafia Wars is towards one end of that continuum, and Kingdom of Loathing is towards a different end of that continuum. And my take on Echo Bazaar is it is probably not past the halfway point towards KOL from Mafia Wars. It is by definition a social network game because your account is just Twitter credentials. Basically, you make a Twitter account. It is very heavily in, like, you can get once a day, you can get an extra blast of turns by posting something on Twitter that is flagged with the Echo Bazaar hashtag. You can edit it. I mean, you can post whatever you want. I mean, you could, if you were using a Twitter, you know, you could just edit it to be something like, you know, telling people what you just had for breakfast and nobody would ever know.
What do you mean?
What do I mean?
I guess I don't understand.
What do you mean? Don't you understand?
What do you could edit it.
You can edit what gets posted. You hit a button to repeat. Like, it'll give you these fragments of game text that are, like, you know, meant to be, like, evocative. And you get a button to echo that post to Twitter, but because they're all longer than 140 characters, it shows you what it's going to post and lets you edit it.
Oh.
So you could put in whatever you wanted, I'm assuming. I don't know that it might force a tag to go in there or something, but I don't know. I haven't tried.
I
just created a bogus Twitter account that I don't care about. you know, and we've got this little group of the gang of KOL dev people who are doing the interactions that you can do with each other. I have not found things.
Is it called Echo Bazaar because it's based on Twitter?
No, I don't think so.
Echoing games. Text from the game?
I don't know. I mean, it is explained in the context of the game world. I mean, it makes sense.
I mean, echoes are the currency, and the bazaar where you buy and sell stuff is
a bazaar.
But then you are echoing text from the game into Twitter.
Yeah.
Huh. Yeah. But I mean, there's not, you know, there's not, the game world doesn't have, it's pretty self-contained. It does not really reference anything outside of it that I'm aware of. I mean, it references areas in London. It references, you know, historical events or whatever. But like, it's pretty well developed. Like it is honestly, like, I would say that every day that I have played, I have been exposed to some bit of text that hinted at some cool thing that was going on that made me think, ah, neat. There's some cool things going on in this world, right? You know, it'd be neat to have like a World of Warcraft style MMO that was set in this world, I think. It's definitely got that like social game deal, but it's not, it doesn't seem to be in a particularly sleazy way. Like it you get extra turns by posting stuff about it on Twitter, right, which is a little sketchy. But I have not seen anything that requires you to have a certain number of followers in order to do it.
I thought you said you got more currency based on the number of followers you had.
No.
Oh.
No.
There are some things that you can only get by performing actions, like you and another player both spending a turn on something.
Right. And your friends list in the game is entirely based on your list of followers and who you are following in Twitter.
I see.
So what I have found lately, let me describe the frustrating way in which turns are doled out. You have a maximum of 10 energy or whatever it's called. I don't even remember
actions.
What it's called. Actions. You get one every 7 minutes.
So it's a trickle game.
Yeah, but it caps out at 10. So you basically have to play every 70 minutes in order to maximize your turns. Although if you spend more than like 50 or 60 in a given 24-hour period, you start getting them at 1/4 the rate. So I'm not sure what they're going for with this. I'm not sure what the point of that is, right? Like, I'm not sure what the difference is between that and just giving people 50 turns every day. I would much prefer that, I think.
My theory is that they're spreading it out because they don't have the server resources to handle a lot of people playing a lot of turns at once.
But I mean, they do stuff a player at a time, and they could just give you turns at a they could give everybody turns at a different time. It's not, you know, we could probably get away with doing that with KOL, like, if we really wanted to. There's nothing like sacrosanct about that moment.
It is a little weird, because most of the trickle games are, like, tied into, like, Facebook. Right?
Well, but this one's tied into Twitter, right? I mean,
well, but there's a reason to go back. Like, there's, like, bringing people back to Facebook makes Facebook happy, right? Whereas I don't know that bringing people back to Twitter necessarily does anything for Twitter.
Yeah, I don't know. It's well written enough that I want to see more of the content, but what's happening, you know, now is that, like, you basically are, like, it's very grindy, you know, and you get the equivalent of, like, a single-choice adventure at a given level of a stat, right? You level up in a very KOL-y kind of way. You've got stats that are leveled up by you building up experience points within the stat. And then those stats determine your chance of success at challenges that give you, you know, items, basically. In fairly large quantities, and then you need fairly large quantities of the items to do anything with them. You also can sort of auto-sell them, but the game really discourages you from auto-selling anything because almost everything is potentially useful. In fact, I think everything is useful for one thing or another. There are just, you know, there are things that you can get rid of because they're not likely to be useful for something that you're trying to do or whatever. It is a game that makes me wish I was reading a wiki, but I'm not going to. I don't care enough to read it. I don't really want it spoiled, but I do feel a little like, you know, I don't know. I feel like I'd like to sell some of the shit that's sitting in my inventory and buy some gear, but I'm afraid that the advantage that the gear would give me would be way overshadowed by the advantage that I lost by selling something that, like, unlocked a new zone that I didn't know about. It's got a kind of an interesting mechanic. Like, you unlock different activities via your stats, but you also have this deck of cards that slowly replenishes, that are like little subplot kind of things. They're opportunities. They're sort of like an interactive community chest kind of thing. And depending on what your dwelling is, you have a hand of a certain size of those that you can keep out. And once you play through one, once you do whatever it is that you do in one, it goes away. But you can also discard them and draw new ones. Those are also trickled out to you. I don't know if I said that already. Your deck slowly refills. But like, you know, there's this, that's kind of interesting. Like, there's an advantage. I've got one that, like, I know is going to be something good, because it's like the card's got like a gold border, and I'm like, ooh, sweet, that means it's something cool. And I'm hanging on to it until my stat gets high enough to actually do it. But I, you know, because I found a dwelling that lets me have three cards in my hand, I can still cycle through some others to look for new things to do. You know, so you can change it up a little bit that way. There's, and the possible cards that you can draw depend on your stats, depend on your, like, you know, you'll do these little things, and it's like, all right, now you're connected to Bohemian society, and so that will open up some opportunities that you might not have had otherwise, you know, or an option to solve a quest in a new way, where, like, you can take advantage of some of your Bohemian connections to figure out where this art dealer lives or whatever, you know. It's thematically, all this stuff is really cool. But it is super grindy. I mean, there's no way around that. And I really dislike the fact that I just have to keep logging on every hour or so to do it. Like, I would really like to, you know, and it's like, play in just minutes a day, but it's like, yeah, play in 1 minute now, and then 1 minute an hour from now, and 1 minute an hour from now, and it's really dissatisfying. Riff, did you end up checking out Neptune's Pride?
No, I don't think I've heard of that. What is it?
Oh, really? I didn't talk to you about it? Or show it to you?
I think you saw it.
I think you did see it.
Is that the thing you were playing the other morning?
Yes. The space game?
Yeah.
It's pretty cool.
Is it?
Yeah. They were talking about it on Idle Thumbs. That's how I found out about it. But my game, after, I don't know, 10 or 11 days, is starting to get a little tense. This dude, I was considering attacking this dude. I was amassing my forces on his border. I was like, I'm going to eventually have to start attacking green, but red's my... You know, I share borders with red and green, and red's my buddy, because we were like, hey, let's agree where we're going to stop expansion and then not have to fight over stuff. And I'm like, cool. And then, so I ended up filling all my available space and bordered on red and green, and I'm like, I think I'm eventually going to have to kick green's ass, but he's pretty powerful, so I'm going to put it off and build up my forces as long as I can. And I'm kind of nervous about being the aggressor, and then I logged on today, and it was like, green took over one of your stars, and I was like, oh, it's fucking on. So, I took over a couple of his stars, and that took like an hour. Well, it didn't really, I mean, I logged on, and I told my ships to go there, and I was like, they'll get there in an hour, and I'm like, okay, cool.
It only took an hour?
Because they were really close together. So I sent them on to the next star, which is outside my scanner range, so I have no idea if it's fortified. Yeah, I might have just been sending little Ender on a suicide mission.
Yeah.
I name all my pilots, and I name them all Ender. You don't actually name your pilots.
Do the forces get weaker and weaker as you get further and further?
No. Nope. if you find a star that's undefended, it just becomes your territory. And yeah. So yeah, it's a fun game, I guess. I don't know. I'm doing pretty well, so I can see I'd be less fun if I'd been getting fucked with by a bunch of dudes. You know, it's like I don't know, it's slow. That is a game that you can play in minutes a day. It sends you an email every time there's a production cycle, and then you click on the link and spend your dollars. I wasn't spending my dollars very effectively, I don't think, because everybody else has way higher research levels than I do.
Huh.
And way more of everything. Weird.
Weird.
Yeah, so I must have chosen poorly. I have a lot more fleets than everybody else, so I feel like if I had taken some of the money that I spent on expanding rapidly in the beginning, expanded a little more slowly, and focused more on building infrastructure in the planets that I did have, that I'd be in a little better shape. Getting a lot more research from the beginning would have helped a lot, because I'm just way behind, and I feel like it's this kind of accelerating curve that you get further and further behind. other players.
Huh.
Anyway, it's a neat game. I recommend it. After this game is over, I'm thinking that I might give them some money. I mean, I don't really need to give them, you know, I don't need the for pay features, but I feel like, you know, I've had some fun with this. I'll give them 10, 20 bucks, whatever. I've been playing Fallout 3 again. That's pretty exciting. I got the Game of the Year edition with all the downloadable content. I was like, sweet, I'm going to play and play all the downloadable content and start a new guy. And then I'm like, oh, wait, all the downloadable content is the fucking level cap. So I guess I'll play through this entire game again.
Huh.
But I'll make better decisions.
You going to be evil?
No.
You're going to be neutral?
I can't do it.
You can't blow up Border
Town? I can't blow up Megaton.
Megaton?
No. I can't do it. If I'm playing a character and making evil decisions, I cannot relate to the character and I don't care about the development of it at all.
Huh.
Like, I just don't. I can't do it. I have actually vowed to do nothing for which I will lose karma at all. Which locks out whole quest lines to me.
Wow.
Yeah. It's rough, but man, it's a harsh world, but somebody's got to be good.
In that quest, you don't end up with a net gain in karma?
Oh, there are definitely quests where you end up with a net gain in karma, but I'm not going to do anything that loses karma at all.
Wow. That's weird.
There are quests where you lose karma either way. There's apparently this tower, this like old luxury hotel this rich dude has taken over, and he wants you to go and kill all the like irradiated ghouls that are in this nearby, you know, catacomb or whatever. And if you go kill them, you lose karma. But if you spare them, you lose karma because they then raid the tower and kill everyone in it.
Huh. So you can't accept the quest.
Yeah. Yeah. Just can't. Well, you can't. You can accept it. You just can't act. Apparently.
Oh, it doesn't happen. Given time passing.
No.
That's kind of interesting. I feel like I'm you know like 29 or 30 episodes into Idle Thumbs, and there is a discussion about a game that I've never played. This name is actually sort of not coming to me at the moment, but it was like stuff happening in real time. Same guy that had made. Are you done looking at the printer? That's
yeah. The
resetting
fucking haunted printer.
It's not
goes through this
haunted.
It just goes through this self-cleaning cycle every once in a while. Every once in a while, it happens while we're on the radio, and it just freaks me out and is noisy.
Last Express or something.
Jordan Mechner. Yeah, The Last Express.
The Last Express. Did you ever play that?
No, I did not.
So I mean, the impression that I got was that it was a game that events happened in real time, whether you were there or not, right? And so there were all kinds of branches depending on whether you were present for something to happen or not.
Right.
And then thinking about adventure games or RPGs or whatever, where stuff just sort of waits for you to arrive for it to happen.
Right.
Is interesting, right? Because, like, that's not the way the world works at all.
Yeah.
I mean, you play games to not be in the world.
Yeah, I mean,
sure.
That's interesting, but I don't know. Like, the original couple of Fallouts had that timer on them,
mm-hmm.
and games that do that really frustrate me because I'm always worried about what I might be missing by taking my time and exploring stuff that might mean that there's some event somewhere else that I'm not going to make it to.
Right. I mean, isn't that theoretically encourage replay?
Yeah, but if you're not going to replay it, right?
Apparently, like Last Success was short enough, and there was some sort of like time mechanic that allowed
in a game that took 2 hours to play. Sure,
yeah,
right. Like
yeah.
In a game that took 2 hours to play, I would be all about there being all of these different disparate branches, you know. But then I don't know that I would get that into it, right? There's probably some sweet spot. There's probably some sweet spot of like character development that you care about, and the ability to replay it, or you replay with some benefit, KOL style, you know. That'd be cool.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, the sort of new game plus thing is interesting to me, usually. at least, you know, in a game that I like.
Yeah.
So, I feel like we could try to get through a bunch of questions.
What?
I know.
Questions?
Weird. Extanstick says, hey guys, what's the status on Revamped Rollover? He wrote that under the Twitter. God, I had a fucking depressing conversation with C.D. Moyer yesterday. It wasn't actually that depressing.
Overwhelming.
We had this incredibly frustrating discussion with Geff about getting rid of the current MySQL hot copy backup that is taking up you know, maybe 12 or 13 minutes of the current rollover.
Can we back up just a little bit? Wasn't the new backup system, didn't it like lag at least the dev server for like 45 minutes?
It did, because it was taking 40 minutes to do an hourly snapshot. So every hour, 40 minutes, we're going to be excruciatingly laggy. The theory is that is because the database server is connected to a 100 megabit switch.
Oh.
And so buying those switches was a direct attempt to solve that problem. So
I see.
Yeah. So the new backup software that we got that allows us to shorten rollover, and I mean also makes better backups of everything, right?
In theory.
Yeah. Was causing some lag. So that's clearly not a cool.
Is it causing lag on every server?
Yeah, because it was because it was saturating the switch.
Wow.
Right, and that
sucks so yeah. much. Because is it going to do that, but only for 4 minutes at a time out of every hour and hour?
I don't know.
Because that's kind of also unacceptable.
I mean, it wouldn't saturate the switch, right? I don't think so.
Why not? Well, it's got all this data this end.
It's 10 times the capacity on the switch.
Right, and it could just fill that up because it's trying to copy.
Oh, that's where the 4 minutes came from. Yeah. I don't know. I honestly don't. I do not know what is going to happen. I thought you just made that up, and I'm like, oh wait, you're doing maths.
Yeah, sorry.
You went to MIT. You know how to divide 40 by 10.
That's true.
Yeah, I honestly have no idea what the fuck is going to happen. I mean, it is also possible that we could, you know, you could break it down to 10 seconds of lag every 5 minutes, and that would probably be acceptable.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. You know. So there's. We'll figure it out.
Okay.
We will figure it out. I mean, we'll work it out somehow. But I was talking to CD Moyer about the current things that take a long time to roll over and what we're actually using them for. And
we can also just not back things up.
That's true.
And that would make the game a lot faster.
It was a great system for the first several years.
Yeah. And you know, we had a 2 month old partial backup.
Yeah.
For White Wednesday.
Well, no, we had a daily backups of most stuff and
except
a 2 month old backup of a handful of things. So it was
only what, a couple hundred hours of time to deal
was
with
way more
and
than a couple
awesome
hours.
New content.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. So it, you know, it's in progress. Like the whole shortened rollover thing. Like it's moving forward. I'm not making any promises on how long this shit's gonna take because this is like fundamental stuff.
There's all kinds of stuff in the works. We got yet another server that we're going to swap out. This time it has more RAM, so that should theoretically make that server awesome.
I don't know that it's going to make it awesome from a user's perspective. I think it just means we can get more users having the same experience on the same hardware.
Well, it will allow us to do the... We won't have to touch fight on that server.
Sure. It's entirely possible that putting in these new switches will make the game a little peppier.
That's cool.
Because Jeff believes that
We're saturating
a lot of those ports all the time.
All the time.
I
saturate a lot of your mother's ports all the time.
Yeah. Wolf V says, is May going to get a familiar or something else? I'm calling it something else.
I was going to say, it's a familiar or something else, that's for sure.
GMW says, CD Moyer made chat commands. I'm assuming you mean combat macros. Riff made the Mad Nemesis Quest. No, Riff Mad the Nemesis Quest. It was a Mad Nemesis Quest. What? Sold gold nuggets? God, GMW.
What?
Did you shorten these things?
I think it is just that a lot of the vowel keys on GMW's keyboard do not work.
Right. Or maybe he just shortened a bunch of words to get into the Twitter character limit.
I don't know.
Anyway, CD Moyer made the fight macros. Riff made the Nemesis Quest. What solid gold nuggets are the rest of the asymmetric hens going to lay this year? Oh, you'll see. Hot Stuff and I laid a year's worth of traveling trader items, sort of. Actually, that was everybody.
Yeah.
I think I used some of everybody's ideas. Hot Stuff just made the super complicated one that we still haven't finished yet.
It's 90% done.
Oh, well, cool. That's a B.
It is pretty complicated, though.
Yeah, it is. Miss Charlie says, bring back the food fart. Bring back the blood fart. Travis says, more shirts. okay, I'm wearing one tonight.
Yeah, me too.
Cool. We have more than zero shirts on. Paul BD says, pancakes or waffles? I'm saying neither, but, like, waffles if I had to pick.
I prefer waffles to pancakes in general. Sometimes there are good, really good pancakes, but usually waffles are tastier.
I feel like every pancake that I've ever had has tasted exactly like every other pancake I've ever had.
Yeah.
Really? Now, you can have, like, I mean, you can have, clearly you can have stuff in them, right? Which I guess you could also have in waffles, but waffles are, like, I don't know, they're less satisfying to have stuff in.
I feel like, I don't know, I like the idea of pancakes more than I like the idea of waffles, but I know that if I were to actually eat them, I would enjoy the waffles more.
I like the structure that a waffle has. I like that I can pick it up and eat it with my
hands. How when we were in England, there were all those places that sold waffles with, like jam on them?
No.
There was like a stand at the train station at Ealing Broadway that sold waffles with, like, ice cream or waffles with, like, strawberry sauce poured on them. They're pretty fucking good.
I feel like we should be at some sort of world expo, and then I can take my waffle and I can wrap it into a cone and you can put your ice cream in it.
I see.
I believe that was the invention of the ice cream cone.
A world expo?
I believe it was at a world expo.
Huh.
That is perhaps an apocryphal story, but that is my understanding.
Cool. Gleebs282 says, a tome that summons a pipe/agua/feather-like spleen item. Overpowered, underpowered, or just right?
As opposed to a familiar?
Yeah. I don't know. I feel like it would be a little boring as an item of the month.
It would. I don't think people would use it, right? Because you would want the other tome summons for their utility, and you already have these familiars, which... It's not like you're sacrificing anything to use them, necessarily.
Unless you don't.
Okay, well, yeah, if you don't have them, sure. But, yeah, I don't know. That's a good question. I don't think that's the direction we would go with the tome.
Yeah, I don't think so either. All right, let's burn through some Radio Bugbear messages.
Okay.
Azu says, can we change the you can't get any more scrumptious reagents message to say how many more you can get today? Currently it says you can only get 5 per day, and that just means you have to guess numbers if you don't remember how many times you already cast it. Oh, wait. I mean, that's what you see if you pick too large a number. This applies to pasta mastery and cocktail ingredients, too. I'm going to put that in the list of things, because I feel like there are several things like that that could stand some saner...
feedback.
Reporting. Some feedback, yeah. That was the word. Feedback.
There are a tremendous number of suggestions in that thread.
There really, really are.
And a lot of them are like two to 5 minute things.
You say that.
I do.
And you're probably right.
I mean, many of them are much more involved, but some of them are, like that one, I think, right there would take you probably 2 minutes to do.
Yeah, maybe.
Probably.
Ms. Train says...
For each one.
Yeah.
For each one. Yeah.
Ms. Train says, how come pre-pulls from Hanks get images when you pull them but others don't? Yeah, just because I feel like Boozer Bear wrote the Hanks code, and then Xenophobe wrote the free pull from Hanks code, and so they just did them in two different ways. Miss Train says, I just wanted to say that this month's item is awesome, though I also really like the Mayfly necklace a lot, which seems to not be very popular. You've said before that you started the game with an idea that people could collect a lot of stuff. You have succeeded, sirs! I like to describe this game as hoarder chic. Also, I had another crazy KOL dream. Kmart was having a special sale on pretentious artist bobblehead dolls, but you had to have proof of residency and prove that you were wearing mascara made of foot powder. I got one of the last ones, and the clerk slapped me in the face with a cactus and said, Sequoia, onwards, and come again. I remember thinking that I got a really great deal.
Wow.
I love it.
That is nothing like any of my dreams have ever been.
Do you ever have dreams with, like, phrases in them that you then remember? Yeah.
Not usually.
I had a dream that contained the phrase creolith, which is just a word that doesn't mean anything.
Doesn't it?
I don't think so. I've looked it up, and it doesn't seem to be a word.
It's like a monolith, but it's like in a language that's like halfway between two other languages.
Yeah. And then I had another dream that, like, I was taking some class, I was taking a class that John Flansburgh was teaching about different ways that you could be wrong about things.
Because that sounds like it's totally feasible.
Right. And he gave this example problem that was a thing that we were supposed to determine the way in which it was wrong, and the problem was the just written on a on like one of those, you know, like a notepad on an easel, like an old school, like a whiteboard thing, and that there was the phrase, "It takes a female secretary to tell a wicker cigarette." It was like, what? How is this wrong? And apparently it was like, you know, this is wrong in mode B. There ain't no such thing.
This is wrong because it's sexist.
Yeah, I mean, but that was like, it was like, that was like a red herring. We were supposed to think it was wrong because it was sexist, but really it's wrong because there's no such thing as a wicker cigarette. And also the sentence doesn't make it, like, to tell a, what does that mean? Like, to recognize a wicker cigarette, or like to...
Well, wicker could also be a kind of person.
Okay.
And cigarette could be something that the secretary was telling them.
Oh, right, right.
I guess. One who wicks.
Yeah. Sequoia onwards.
Not to totally change the subject, but are we going to play Dungeon Lords after the radio show?
Oh, I don't know, dude.
We should totally do that and then report back on it next week.
Should we?
Yeah.
Dungeon Lords.
But well, that requires four people.
It does require four people.
If only we had four people in this vicinity.
Huh. It seems like that might be possible. Does it actually require four people?
It doesn't, but it gets more complicated.
Yeah, you have to do some weird bullshit pseudo-AI if you have less than four people.
Yeah.
It's kind of a failing in the...
It is a little weird.
...in the game. I feel like if I had designed a game that required you to do stuff like that, I probably would have, like, scrapped that mechanic.
I understand why they did it, but it is... It's a little dissatisfying, it seems like.
Yeah. Like, I feel like the way that Agricola deals with the same problem is by having effectively different boards for different numbers of people.
Right.
Contumely says, "Dear Jake, I was trying to get my roommate to start playing KOL, and he told me that any RPG he could not masturbate to, he refused to play. Can anyone masturbate to your art? I don't know, like the Sugarfruit Fairy."
I was just about to say, the Sugarfruit Fairy.
I'm sure somebody can. I mean...
Somebody
can masturbate to anything.
I mean, I feel like there are probably people who could, like, masturbate to erotic fiction, right? So they don't need pictures at all.
I bet then someone you just has have to be into yanked one off to the Naughty Sorceress picture.
Yeah.
Really?
There's that, too. The sausage one? Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Somebody with a sausage fetish.
But I feel like, yeah, as long as you had a fetish that was basically anything that we've parodied in pop culture, you could totally go for it.
Yeah, I don't know, man. Maybe.
Felonia?
Felonia doesn't even have boobs.
I don't remember what she looks like.
I mean, I guess maybe that's just my fetish speaking, but I, you know, I feel like you can't masturbate to anything that doesn't have boobs. So, Mr. Skullhead would argue that you cannot masturbate to Zoe Saldana.
She totally has breasts.
Yeah, I know, dude. Dude, you're preaching to the fucking choir here.
Like,
no, Mr. Skullhead is just fucking crazy and wrong.
Is it... Like, does he just, like, only like gigantic breasts?
I don't know. I kept trying to get him to admit
to qualify.
That. Yeah, because then that would make some sense. But he was like, she has a freakishly long neck and no tits. And I'm like, her neck's not that big of a deal and she totally has tits.
I could understand the neck thing, sort of, but it's not that bad. It's not like she's a giraffe.
He was specifically saying that he was accusing me of masturbating to pictures of giraffes.
Do giraffes have tits?
Anyway, that's two.
But if they have
two
tits.
Entire radio shows devoted to this debate so far, I'm not gonna spread it into a third.
Two entire radio shows.
Yeah. Pastangum says, "Now that there are evil noodles, I can't help but think of the song Evil Needle whenever I cook them." I've never heard Evil Needle.
Yeah,
do you suppose that Evil Knievel likes the song Evil Needle, or do you suppose that Evil Knievel is dead?
Well, it depends.
I mean, both those things might be true.
Is it better to have evil needles in a sincere way? As opposed to ironically?
Oh, I don't know. I get what you're saying, because we were just discussing the new sincerity.
We
hey, speaking of which, somebody sent in, this is actually related to a later Radio Bugbear question, which I will read now. Simeon says, "On one of the last shows, you mentioned you listened to the Penny Arcade episode of Jordan Jesse Go. What did you think of the hostility? I feel I can happily go on ignoring Penny Arcade." I have basically, right, like Roger Ebert said a few years ago, video games could never be art. And,
wow.
You know, and he's, you know, I feel like he's wrong about that, but he has, like, never really participated in any of the debate that that spawned, right? And then finally he did. He wrote an article a few days ago that was like, you know, sort of continuing to say, like, this is why I don't think video games should be art. It was pretty thin. It was not...
Yeah. I want him to play Don't Look Back.
It was very evident that he had never played the games he was using.
He had never played any. I mean, he basically
has never played a video game.
Right.
And also his definition of art is pretty dubious.
I don't even feel like he really landed on one.
Yeah.
Because, if video games can't be art, you'd have to go... It's not that far of a jump to say that film can't be art.
He does not argue... He argues that not all films are art.
Yeah, his definition of art has a quality component to it.
Okay.
That I think there's a lot of stuff that... Not even a lot of non-game things that people could ask him if they're art, and he would say
like
no.
a bad painting is not art.
Yeah, I mean, I think he would probably. Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, I feel like he would not be at all out of character to say that Piet Mondrian has never produced any art, right? Like,
oh, anything that's sort of produced effectively by algorithm
or what? No. I mean, I think you made that generalization when I or he would not have, but. Yeah, whatever. Like, it doesn't really matter. Like, I like Roger Ebert. He is a smart guy. I like reading the things that he has to say about stuff.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, this is a thing that we can agree on.
This is you saying that you can disagree with people and still like listening to them. That's the analogy that you're sort of encompassing vis-a-vis Penny Arcade? No. I don't know.
Well,
I'm wondering how you're tying this back into the Penny Arcade and Jordan Jessica.
Because today,
yesterday,
Jerry posted this just screed.
Yeah, it was
talking about how much of an asshole Roger Ebert was, and it was like, dude, Roger Ebert is not an asshole. Like, Jerry was such a prick to Roger Ebert.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
In this, and then. Mike, like, posts, by the way, last I checked, we were more influential on Time's list of 100 influential people than, and then listed a bunch of other people who Roger Ebert supposedly, like, would like more than him or whatever, was like, all right, you fucking assholes, shut up. Like,
wow.
And you know what, I shouldn't do this. I shouldn't say, shut up, you fucking assholes, because I'm behaving no better than they are, but, like, I think that what
you're
it comes down to...
You're intolerant of their intolerance.
I think what it comes down to is...
It seems like they both have the same problem. Like, I'm sort of outside of this whole thing. I just don't care in a lot of ways. But, like, it seems like the Penny Arcade guys were kind of, like, pissed off because they didn't understand the world that they'd gotten into with Jordan and Jesse Go, and...
So it made them,
and they're pissed off at Ebert for the same thing that they're doing, which is not understanding the world that he's criticizing.
Sure,
right? Like, I don't, well, so maybe that makes the Penny Arcade guys kind of hypocrites in that way, right?
I mean, what I think it comes down to, like, I don't, you know, I would like to say that I don't have a problem with those guys personally, but I have always gotten the sense in all of the interaction that I've had with them face to face that they just didn't like me.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And maybe they don't. What the fuck ever, right? Like, but I'm beginning to believe that maybe they're just assholes, right? Like, maybe in the same way that, like, you know, Mr. Scullin and I were talking the other day about, like, sort of trying to come to terms as an adult with being, like, fucked with as a kid.
Sure.
Right? And I feel like they're still just really pissed off at the world.
Would you feel okay if someone characterized you as an asshole?
I think I probably would.
Huh. That's interesting.
I mean, here's the thing. I believe that there are a tremendous number of people that are absolutely deserving of my respect who would hate me if we met. Right? And that doesn't mean that there's something wrong with them. Right? We just run in different circles.
And you don't feel that that also means that there's something wrong with you.
It might mean that there's something wrong with me, but I don't think that it. I don't think that by definition it means that there's something wrong with me. I mean, I think it's just like, you know, we're not on the same wavelength, but like that's okay because it really does literally take all kinds of people to make a world, right? Like if everyone on Earth, and this is weird because this goes outside of my like whole like sort of behavioral ethics of the categorical imperative, right? Like if everyone on Earth was exactly like me, I probably would not have a lot of fun going out in the world, right? Because there wouldn't be buildings, you know, like I, and like the, like you know, there would there would be no way to move from place to place, but I guess you wouldn't want to, because there would be nothing in any of those places, because there would just be, like, dudes sitting in whatever cave they were in making computer games, right? So there'd be plenty of computer games, but, like, you know, no console games, for instance. Like, I don't know, man. It's like, I don't want to sit here and say, boy, I sure have a more sophisticated and sort of enlightened worldview than those penny arcade assholes do. But, like, to brag about being on a list of the most influential people that was created via internet voting...
Oh, yeah.
Shows, in my mind... I mean, it's like fucking John Linnell can't say, oh, yeah, I made the list of people's 100 most beautiful people on Earth thing. That means I'm really beautiful. No, it doesn't. It fucking obviously means that there was some internet ballot stuffing going on. Right? Like, I don't know. Unless Time Magazine genuinely thinks... Unless they are genuinely among the top 100 most influential people alive today. I don't fucking think so. I don't even think that the Penny Arcade following is actually a cult of personality around them, because I think they're dicks. I think that they're dicks, and most people can't actually relate to them.
But
I think that the community that formed around Penny Arcade...
Cult of personality could very well often be around assholes, right?
Well, sure.
Because, I mean, the whole mission of cults is around, like, these cult leaders who are probably not...
But I guess I do not, and I will not take credit for the KOL community. The KOL community, there was some seed of luck that was germinated, and maybe the particular character of the stuff that was created that people were drawn in around drew in the right kind of people to start exactly the right kind of...
I think you and Scully were very instrumental in sort of fomenting whatever KOL became.
And see, I just don't. I would never attempt, even in my own mind, to take credit for creating the community. I will take credit for creating the game. I don't think the game is all that good, right? They can take credit for creating the comic. The comic is pretty good, you know? The comic is pretty good. But it is not as many times better than Chainsaw Suit as they make money compared to Chris Straub, right? They got this community going. The community, I believe, and I don't know anything about the Penny Arcade community.
Yeah, I actually don't understand how it got to be as big as it is.
Right, because
kind of
it doesn't make any sense. It's not like a thing where, oh, this person is such a good singer that they have 10 million fans that are willing to go to these conventions and all hang out together. People go to Penny Arcade Expo to see one another.
Sure.
People come to KOLCon to see one another. I don't feel
they
like
don't come. They don't come to the KOL con to play the game. I mean, that's kind of obvious, right?
Right. Like, right. And so I feel like the Penny Arcade guys maybe are a little too full of themselves.
I guess
what is the difference? What is the difference between me saying these things about the Penny Arcade guys and the Penny Arcade guys? You know, Jerry in particular. You know,
ragging on Jordan and Jesse Go. And,
Jesse Thorne, yeah. Or Roger Ebert.
Right.
I mean,
Roger Ebert is ostensibly more influential than they are, I guess, right?
I don't know. Is it just that... not according to Mike. Mike's post like, yeah, fuck you, Roger Ebert. People like us more than they like you. Why don't you just die already, Grandpa? I mean, I bet that's really fucking gratifying for Roger Ebert, who is about to die, just considering, like, oh, this is cool. The future is going to be fucking great.
I don't think he said that.
No, he didn't. But that's the implication. I mean, all of Jerry's screed about him was like, he is a dinosaur. He is, you know, an old media enthusiast who doesn't get it. But you could have said all of those things. You could have said all of those things, and maybe I would have thought you had a point if you weren't also just personally attacking the guy. If you weren't describing him as a monster.
Yeah.
You know?
Like, it's also, you know, it is interesting to hear this person who has spent his entire life basically thinking about media talk about video games. Like, trying to understand his point of view, I think, has some real merit.
Right. And not just arguing with him, because it's probably not going to work.
Yeah. But that's, I would, like, you know, if I got to sit in a room with Roger Ebert, I would really enjoy the attempt to be able to show him some games and say, can you really say that these are not art?
I don't think that it would work. I don't think that, you know, so you and I both had we had an emotional response to Terry Kavanaugh's Don't Look Back.
Yeah.
Right? Just this momentary but very powerful thing that we experienced.
Way more powerful than many movies I had seen.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely. I don't know. First of all, if we hadn't grown up playing video games, there is no fucking way we would have been able to beat that game because
sure.
it was really hard. Right?
Sure.
If we hadn't grown up playing low-res video games, I don't know that that game would have had
the resonance,
aesthetic charm to keep us interested in it for even the, like, 10, 15 minutes that it took to play it.
Okay.
Right? Like, I mean, my whole stake, my stance in the games as art thing has always been a little dubious because of, like, the number of, like, oh, this game is art that, like, either relies on the tropes of Super Mario Brothers or
right.
pixel art, right? Both of which have a very profound nostalgia in the people who are standing where we're standing. And, yeah, it's going to create... it's going to create the same sort of emotional thing in us and that somebody, you know, of our parents' generation listening to the music... listening to music that was evocative of the music that they listened to when they were kids. Right? And so I just don't know... I'm not saying that Braid is not art.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm saying that Braid... I don't know that Braid makes any sense outside the context of Super Mario Brothers. Right? I don't know that it has the same emotional texture, which I think is crucial.
That's the question, though, is like, can we...
to an artistic
experience. We take somebody... But it is... Okay, so, A, I don't think you have artistic experiences in a vacuum, right? Like, modern and postmodern art, for example, I think rely on... you having experience with...
like a cultural context?
Yes, I do. Yeah, totally. Like a lot of postmodern... I mean, like those giant canvases that are painted white and just have like a zip of color down them or whatever, right? Like, people sort of make fun of those, but like actually experiencing one of those in person rather than in a book made a big difference for me, and also understanding sort of what they were all about. Do you know, like, the more you understand something, the more you're going to appreciate it. Right. So the more context you have for something, the more you're going to appreciate it. So if you have zero context for games, you're not going to appreciate it at all, I don't think.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah.
You know?
But I mean, then is there a definition that you could derive that was like something that will create an emotional response even outside of a context?
But
right. And probably not.
I don't know.
There probably is no such thing as that, right? But
right.
I mean,
that's what I'm wondering.
I mean, I guess even a cave drawing of an antelope makes no sense if you've never seen an antelope, right? Like, or a cave drawing of some scary saber-toothed tiger. If you don't know that you're supposed to be scared of a saber-toothed tiger, then you won't.
Because art as representation
implies
that you have some sort of signifier that, you know, right? Like,
sure. I remember this project that I saw that was an attempt to figure out a way to decorate a nuclear waste disposal site
in
a way that made it clear that it was dangerous,
great.
Even to someone who
who'd never encountered
like
language.
If there were 10 apocalypses between now and then,
right?
You know, and
there are some sort of interesting things that we are genetically predisposed to be afraid of.
Yeah. Like, I feel like we're genetically predisposed against snakes and spiders.
Yeah.
Right? Like, somebody who has never seen a spider before still thinks that a spider is creepy.
Yeah.
Right? Whereas I think maybe somebody, I don't know, do you think like a clown? Somebody who's never seen a clown would think a clown was creepy?
I don't know. Probably not.
No. I mean, not even all current humans think clowns are creepy.
But that could be a genetic deficiency.
Okay.
But that's kind of interesting, right? This notion that there are some things that are, you know, sort of genetically, we are genetically inclined to...
things that are just so alien that...
Well, but it's not so much that, like, I mean, I think it is potentially... it is potentially a behavior that our ancestors who were afraid of spiders survived more often because they were less likely to be bitten and, like, you know, die of, like, being poisoned by, like, extremely virulent spiders or, you know, particularly snakes. Snakes can definitely kill people, right?
Yeah.
And so humans that were just sort of genetically predisposed to be afraid of snakes were more likely to survive.
I think it's part of that, but I think it's also partly just the fact that spiders physically are so different looking from other creatures
than
that you're
going to
have experience with.
I mean, I don't know. I mean,
I know that in my ancestry there was an old woman who swallowed a fly.
Why, though?
I don't know.
Huh. Do you know what happened to her?
Perhaps she'll die. Now, see, I should have said something different.
I know. I was kind of hoping.
I know.
It's hard in the moment.
It is hard in the moment. All right, so yeah, that's answering a bunch of questions.
We're so good at this.
Discussion is worth having. Hey, I don't want to just talk shit about the Penny Arcade guys, but I'm just really...
Yeah, I kind of feel bad and hope they're not listening. But
well, I'm just losing more and more respect for them every time they open their mouths about anything that's real.
I honestly did not. I didn't listen to the entirety of the show. I heard the first half, maybe, of it.
Of the Jordan Jesse Go.
The Jordan Jesse Go thing. And yeah. It was, you know...
He didn't really start getting nasty until
later.
Towards the end.
It was pretty obvious to me that they were just not comedically in the same hemisphere, right? And I feel like it could have just ended at that. It was a little weird for them to then go and, like, criticize.
Yeah. And that was, like, I guess it's like, you know, okay, maybe you had a bad experience being bullied. You know, whatever. Like, maybe you've got a lot of pent-up rage. But, like, didn't your mom ever tell you that if you don't have anything good to say, don't say anything at all, right? And I get that it's their job. It's his job to write potentially bad things about video games, right?
Yeah.
But you shouldn't do that about people.
People are just games, too.
I don't know. I mean, I guess, I don't know. I mean, like...
You know, to be honest, though, a bunch of people find it funny when you make fun of somebody else. So it's very easy to be critical of somebody else and have it be funny, right?
Yeah, it's easier to be funny being mean than being nice.
But this wasn't funny mean. This was just mean.
The Ebert thing, or
yeah.
The I didn't
the
again,
the,
George, didn't
the thing the you know the bit about Jesse Thorne, like. That one pisses me off because it's like I'm making fun of this weirdo for the way that he dresses. And it's like, man, fuck you and the mirror that you are right now of the shit that happened to you in high school.
Hmm.
You know? Like we're in our 30s now, dude. Like it's okay for you to like just talk to other grown-ups and you know, agree to disagree on things. Like whereas this was just like, all right, man, because you are being so mean to a guy who... You cannot just disregard a dude with that kind of body of work. You don't have to agree with it, but you have to at least acknowledge that there is some value in the things that Roger Ebert thinks and says. Right? In the same way that there is some value in the things that Bill O'Reilly thinks and says, right? Even though I disagree with all of them, I cannot say that Bill O'Reilly is not a guy that deserves to have an opinion about something.
I guess.
Right? I don't know, maybe I say shit like that all the time and I'm just trying to take the high ground now. I don't know, man. I don't know.
It makes me sad that all of these people that should be on the same team are getting upset at each other, right? Like, well, I guess, the only person that seems to be upset is the guys from Penny Arcade, because everybody else is just going about their daily business,
yeah.
You know? So.
Yep, I don't know. I don't even know that they're upset. I mean, maybe he just didn't have any video games to write about today, so he decided...
Sure.
Mike, I honestly... Jerry maybe is redeemable, you know. Maybe there could be some end Death Star moment where he's like, "Tell your sister you were right." But
you should refer to them as Gabe and Tycho, because I can never keep them straight when you say Jerry and Mike.
Yeah,
because whatever. I can't even keep them straight when you say Gabe and Tycho, so it probably doesn't help.
Now, see, if I wanted to be super uncharitable, I could say Jerry's the fat one, Mike's the ugly one.
Oh, wow. Damn.
But see, that's not the kind of guy that I am. Whoa. I'm only doing it to be funny, right? Like, it doesn't.
So, okay, could you then back off and say,
no,
maybe they're doing this just to be funny,
now
and
I feel
they
like
don't
an
actually
asshole.
Feel like
it
this
just
way.
I don't know. Maybe,
right? Maybe this is all just to get a rise out of people.
Okay, maybe Jerry is the kind of guy whose sense of humor is such that he thinks saying, now I drive a fucking Mercedes, is funny, but that's not funny. That's not funny. That's just some bullshit, pathetic bragging. Right? Maybe Mike thinks to say, yeah, well, last time I checked, we were on Time's list of most influential people and you weren't, is funny, but that's not fucking funny either. That's just some bullshit, pathetic bragging. And you know, I don't know. I'm not gonna... It is one thing to puff up and to overstate your self-worth. I mean, like MC Frontalot says, Titanic ego, low self-esteem, right? Like, that's sort of the hallmark of the successful nerd.
Had Panini Arcade guys made any games before the, like, fairly recent sort of Rainslick Precipice?
No.
No, I don't think
and
so.
And how involved were they in the actual construction of that game?
I don't know.
I think they just wrote it, designed the story, did the art. I mean, all the programming was other people.
That's like a weird thing that nobody talks about anymore, too. I bought the first one, I played through it, and I'm like, you know, that was pretty fun. It was pretty simplistic, but, like, that's great for me, right? It is an RPG that I can just play, and I can get everything, and I can do everything, and that was fun. And then I got the second one, and it just wouldn't run, and I posted it in the tech support forum, and that was 2 years ago, and still haven't gotten a reply. Game still won't run, and they have not mentioned anything about the game in those 2 years. Episode 3 hasn't come out.
Episode 3 was canceled.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, due to low sales of 2, I believe.
Huh.
Was the low sales of 2 based on the fact that it wouldn't work? On
I mean, I fucking bought it.
Yeah, I bought it. I had never got around to trying to play it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
Like, it was weird, man. And this kind of epitomizes the Penny Arcade experience for me. Right? You know what? Also, like, Robert Koo. Everybody talks about how great Robert Koo is.
Yeah.
Hot Stuff and I have run into him and just interacted with him as normal people on, say, 6 different occasions. Every single time, he has just been a titanic prick. For no reason.
It is weird. Like, I would just assume that he was if I hadn't had so many other people say that he was just so great. And I just don't understand. Other people that I use opinion, I kind of respect.
Maybe we're just lame. Maybe we're lame, and everybody who's cool and everybody who gets it and is in the secret boner club that we're not invited to just understands that we are total assholes.
The secret boner club.
Yeah.
Well, you have to really get into skeletons, apparently.
No, it's a club where you conceal your erections from the other members. And conceal your members from the other erections.
Oh.
No, it's... I don't know, man.
Mike drew some funny pictures for Lycra at the last Comic-Con.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe I need boobs.
Instead of secret
boners.
Well, then you can masturbate to yourself.
Who's to say I couldn't masturbate to my own secret boner?
Is that boobs?
If it had to be a secret. No, it was like that lore comic about the guy whose sexual fetish is his own flaccid penis.
Oh, wow. That is so sad.
It's like a Sisyphus. No, it's like a Tantalus. A Tantalus kind of situation.
Yeah, wow.
Is that the sound that your penis makes when...
No, that was the reaching for the grapes and trying to drink the water.
Oh, yeah. Anyway.
Wow. Okay, so one question down.
Yeah, and the thing is, now I'm no better than anybody that I... Opinions. You know? Opinions are
assholes.
Like assholes.
Yeah.
Hot Stuff. They... everybody's got one, and sometimes there are hemorrhoids on them. The Misanthropist wrote, okay, I have some issues with gift items in their current form. Join the club. The Secret Boner Club. No. Actually, join the club, the players who are always going to be disappointed in my answers to this kind of question club. writes, since the advent of services like KBay, the market for gift items has been standardized to more of an extent than it was previously. For those in the know, i.e. experienced players, it is a simple matter of bidding on an item to get those gift items. For those not in the know, there's literally no way of finding out the value of a gift item, except listening to trade for as long as it takes for somebody to offer one. Basically, in its current state, gift items rip off newer players in almost every circumstance, and while I get you guys are against regulation, you libertarians, you, I think this needs a sensible fix.
But they're gift items.
Gift items.
Gifts. They are not a commodity. They are fun things you give to your friends.
Clearly they are a commodity, but like...
Well, but that's up to them, not to us.
You know, we... This guy said something once that has always resonated with me since.
Mm-hmm.
He said, you cannot change player perception by fiat.
That's true.
That is true.
You can, however, change player perception in a Hyundai.
Boo.
Yeah. The problem is gift items that actually
have impact
on stuff. Yeah.
You know, I don't think we're going to back down on this.
Yeah, like, I'm not going to back down. Although, you know, I backed down on making them available in secure trade offers.
I love the back downedness you've had recently.
Oh, man, I know.
I don't want to mention in case you don't
do.
No,
neither. Well, I mean, we have to talk about it. We'll talk about it at some point.
Okay. So many things that you thought were sacrosanct. Not so much.
Well, you know, The burden of previous work is that you believe you can never change your mind. Who was that? I forget who that quote was from, but it was sent in the other day, and it was somebody thought that I would like that quote, and I did, and I wish I had memorized it and been able to properly attribute it.
The burden of previous quotation.
Yes, you know,
Mark Twain. Mark Twain said it.
Yeah, that was Mark Twain. He said it in his
farewell address,
autumn years when he was just a plaything of European nobility.
I wish I were a plaything of European nobility.
That's what, especially that hunky Prince William. I don't know if he's hunky or not. Perhaps he's Dory. Perhaps he is a Tory. I know that's a thing I associate with dudes in wigs. Yeah, I don't know. Butsuri says, recipe suggestion, black pudding plus magical ice cubes equals a delicious black pudding pop. Black pudding, that's racist. I was going to say Bill Clinton, because that was what popped into my head when I was trying to think of Bill Cosby's name. I think Bill Cosby would be very upset with the implication that he is black. Bill Cosby fucking hates black people. He's like George Bush, only worse.
Huh.
Bill Cosby doesn't hate black people. Bill Cosby just says a lot of really, like, you know, Bill Cosby has a lot of opinions about black people that makes him sort of unpopular among black people, I think, which is that, hey, black people, maybe you should get a job. For instance, I remember one of my favorite things from The Onion was just one of those things where they would have the fake, like, things that were, you know, pointers to articles on the inside that would just be a photograph,
right,
and a single sentence. And one was just this picture. It was like a group photo of a bunch of women, and the caption was, "Women, why don't they lose some weight?"
Wow.
Yep. See,
these shows are so interesting because they are always just a bunch of dudes sitting around talking.
Yeah.
Have we ever had a single female?
I don't know. I mean, Scully does show with his wife every once in a while. There was one when he had Zly on, and
okay.
I don't know. They probably talked about dresses and shit. I don't know. Or dildos. That's, in my mind, there's two kinds of women. Women that talk about dresses and women that talk about dildos.
Shopping.
Yeah.
What about a dress with a built-in dildo?
Oh, hey. Maybe that's the thing that could bridge the gap between those two groups. And maybe women would start liking each other. See, the implication there is that women don't like each other.
We could be rich.
We could be rich.
We could make
those
things.
We could be heroes. The dill dress.
Dill dress.
Chef Wolfgang says, yo, just wondering, if somebody donated $1 million meat to KOL, would you give them 100,000 Mr. Accessories? And then he says, $1 million, lol, not meat, my bad. I mean, probably if somebody donated $1 million meat, I would not...
$1 million.
$1 million, yeah. If somebody donated $1 million, I would not give them the Mr. Accessories without investigating it, because that seems like it's probably like a PayPal error.
But if things like that have happened previously, and instead of giving them all those accessories, you negotiated a custom item.
Isn't that how it ever actually happened?
No one's ever given us a million dollars.
Yeah, nobody's ever given us $1 million. I worked out a thing. It was like with Secret Santa, like with the extra special Crimbo stocking or whatever. That was just a thing where he had donated a lot and was also like just a nice guy and just did a lot of giveaways and stuff. So it wasn't like he was like, "Hey, I will donate this amount of money, and instead of Mr. A's, you give me this custom item that like contains a Mr. A and some other stuff." It was just like a thing that we just like sort of talked over because we were both hanging out in the same chat channel. And I mean,
isn't that how Golden Mr. Accessories happened though?
I guess, yeah. That was a thing where a guy suggested like, "Hey, can I give you $50 and instead of getting 5 Mr. A's, you make this new thing?" I mean, I don't think he wanted it to be a thing that was just for him.
No.
Yeah. I don't actually remember who that was. Weird. Someday, I hope that I live long enough to have nothing at all going on so that I can spend a bunch of time just reconstructing my past. Yeah. Sarah says, "Jick, Riff, Hot Stuff, what is currently each of your favorite beers?" Riff?
I'm not a beer drinker.
Right.
I'll take like cider, like Strongbow or something. Those are good.
Hot Stuff.
Stone Brewery's Cali Belgique.
Right. I'm saying Stone Brewery's Levitation. Beer.
It's nice that we both like beer from the same brewery.
It is, because we can just go there.
We can
like
just go there.
Times of July.
Yeah.
Lord Stefano says, "Is there a reason the Meat Gain Adventures in Hobopolis stopped coming up after being retrieved in all zones except the PLD? Even after all meat caches are added to the stash, only the PLD option can continue to pop up in the zone."
I thought they all had limitations.
Yeah, I don't actually remember how that works.
I mean, they all have a certain number of times that they can show up.
Yeah, maybe that's worth investigating. Maybe that's a bug.
Yeah, it's possible.
I hadn't even thought about that. If you had asked me, I would not have remembered putting those in.
Because
there's some things that give like 100 grand or something, right? Or 10 grand.
It goes into the stash.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think it's 100 grand.
10 grand.
It's usually
I think you can recover. You can recover 100 grand or something like that. Like, we made it so you could recover 10 or 20%
of the cost.
Of the stash cost.
Yeah.
Let's see. I feel like I've read some of these before, but I might have just read them and not read them online. Justin Arm says, "Hey, will we ever be able to change the capitalization of our custom titles like we can with our name? That would be nice." I don't have like a super problem with that.
If
somebody bestowed one on you and the capitalization that they chose bothered you, I could see you wanting to do it. But I mean, then there's a lot of people doing some dumb bullshit with name capitalization that I'm just sort of not.
I mean, that's the thing. I feel like custom titles are often meant as a griefing. So it's hard for me to say that you should be allowed to change it in any way.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I don't know how I feel about that. We'll correct mistakes a lot of the times. People that like tried to put in ASCII characters that didn't go through or something, you know.
Yeah. Nice Sorceress says, "Is there a way to get to the volcano by just clicking the map, or do you have to use the menu frame?" I think you have to use the menu link, don't you? Or do you always get that as an option from the poop deck?
It comes up if you go with it back again, doesn't it?
I don't know.
I think it doesn't consume the map. I thought as long as you had the map.
Riff, do you remember?
No.
It's been a long time since I've tested that.
Stupak 2 and Numenor both point out that Mythbusters totally proved that you could polish a turd. They did. I don't know that I actually believe that they polished a turd. They had a bunch of poop.
Yeah.
That they crumbled up and then wadded into a ball. That's not a turd.
No, that's no longer a turd.
Right. You can compress a turd into a sphere and polish it. They proved that.
That's kind of a neat thing, actually.
It was pretty
neat. Those pages. There's a few different websites that have instructions on how to make those shiny mud ball things.
Yeah.
Okay, do you consider petrified poop still poop?
Oh, I don't know.
A turd?
Is it still a turd? I don't know.
Huh.
When is a turd not a turd?
When it turns into a jar. when you put it in a jar?
Yeah.
Silfang says, the Seal Club or Hardcore Oxy reward now has the club weapon type, a name suggesting a staff, and a description saying it's a spear. What is this thing? Can it be made into a chef staff? Yeah.
That'd be awesome.
Shadowlink says, found a forum post by the Zelda TAS author that elaborates a bit on the item drop rate. Essentially, it's random, roughly 50%. I did not read this thing to say that it was roughly 50%. I read it to say he does not know. He does not know the answer to how it determines which frame an enemy will drop an item on, which is weird, because that's like a sort of fundamental thing that you'd think somebody that knew everything that he knew would know. I also forgot, there is an old man in one of the dungeons who says to you, 10th enemy has the bomb. Like, in-game, they describe that item rotation thing.
10th enemy has the bomb.
Yeah. He says, 10th enemy has the bomb.
That's not even strictly correct.
Not all enemies. If you kill 10 blue Octoroks in a row, the 10th one will always drop a bomb, right? And the old man there tells you that. Like, I totally forgot about that. And, like, what the fuck did that even mean? Dodongo dislikes smoke. You know what that means? Just fucking bomb that motherfucker.
But
Eastmost
it's not.
Most Peninsula has the secret. Is the secret? Yeah.
The 10th. There's two things going on there. There's the rotation of 10 items that each enemy type goes through.
Right. But you can fake it by killing 10 enemies in a row without getting hit.
Right.
You can
and that sort of upgrades.
You can overwrite that bit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's weird.
It is weird.
So if you kill, yeah, that's interesting.
Spleen Master says, recently my workplace installed a new firewall that tracks internet usage. KOL's image server came up as the top hit from my Mac alone by nearly double the next one down. Why is this? And how can I cache images so they don't reload every time? Well, it's because you're constantly loading your inventory and it's generating hundreds of requests to the image server. They are cached. It's not actually downloading them, but it's still requesting them, I think.
Is that how it works?
I don't know.
That seems like it would be really inefficient from both the browser point of view and the internet's point of view.
Yeah, I mean, the image server...
It's also possible that you just... that if you every day, you know, depending on when your cache gets cleared, you check your inventory and it's got thousands of items in it.
Yeah.
There are thousands of item pictures.
I mean, you could turn off images. You turn off inventory images. Right. While you're at work.
Maybe image requests from inside a PHP file don't get cached?
No. They're not from inside a PHP file. They're separate requests from the browser.
Are they?
Yeah. If they're not getting cached, I think it's browser behavior and not server behavior that's causing that to happen.
Because I know calling a PHP file, like, it doesn't, you know, clearly doesn't cache the results of that by itself. Because it could have changed.
Right. But I think it knows better than to request something that it has cached. The browser should know better. The Dudester says, so after getting the queen cookies, I got an idea. What if you add buffs/effects that become better according to your total number of ascensions? That's an idea.
Yeah. I mean, there were definitely things that were linked to number of ascensions, and almost all of them people sort of got upset about. So we've taken out a lot of them.
Asshat says, pegging is also a game, in quotes, played at some juggling festivals. One or more people have some pegs or clothespins in their pockets, and as they socialize, they try to clip a peg to an unsuspecting person. As the days go on, people become more aware of the game and start paying more attention and checking for errant pegs. The most prestigious pegs are in the least subtle places, like the front collar of a shirt. Yeah. That kind of makes me... not that I wanted to go to a juggling festival to begin with, but now I especially don't want to go to a juggling festival.
Your dislike of Nalgene bottles just amuses me. So Jick dislikes the entire notion of Nalgene bottles, right? Which I did not understand. I could not understand, like, why something that is clearly so useful would be disregarded by someone who I consider to be relatively utilitarian and sort of logical. And he's like, yeah, well, it's just because the only people I have ever seen use them are just a bunch of freaking hippies. And it was just really surprising to me that you would discount them purely based on who you had associated them with and your sort of disdain for that group as a whole.
I don't know, I feel like I've done that, although I can't think of a specific example.
I probably do it all the time, but it's like, it's just, I don't know, it's just weird to have, to like, be confronted with it in somebody else, you know? I know that I don't cut my hair short and get frosted tips, because I don't want to be associated with the group of people.
Yeah, no matter how much sense it makes for you to get frosted tips. Yeah.
I held off on getting a fedora for a long time because I didn't want to look like a Unix sysadmin.
Ironically, you look a lot like a Unix sysadmin.
See, the fedora would just push it too far over the edge. But, you know, fedoras are awesome hats, and I can't dispute that.
That's true.
I feel like we were just born too late, you know. Someday men's hats will come back into style.
No.
No, they won't. Apparently have some fucked up dress code for a party on Saturday night at Max FunCon. We have to make up some clothes.
Out of corduroy and burlap.
Dress your family in corduroy and denim. Alright, so there's this pegging game that Asshat plays. Gad the Hero says, could you please enable characters like A mit Umlaut, O mit Umlaut, U mit Umlaut, and whatever that double S thing is? Esset. For clan member titles. No, because we discriminate against Germans.
Also, the Germans got rid of Esset, so.
Did they?
Yeah. They just replaced it with two S's.
Thank you, two German dudes who have sent suggestions for things to do. Who were those German dudes? Who was that masked man?
I've not seen these suggestions yet.
Let's see. They are Frude and McMoolish have sent us some
Frude is
suggestions.
Like early-ish. And what is it? McMoolish?
McMoolish, yeah.
McMoolish. I don't know enough German
like
to know what that's...
Mühlfurzentisch, which is garbage farting table.
Yes.
Okay, I got the tish part.
Mühlfurzentisch.
Mühlfurzentisch.
Yeah, M-U with an umlaut, L is garbage, and then Furzen is farting. To fart. Oh.
So your vocabulary is still just so much greater than mine.
I know how to say Mühlfurzentisch. Also, my favorite German word is Möbelheit, which means... Furniture.
Which, you know, there is probably at least one or two contexts I can imagine that being an important
word.
No,
you're discussing the essential furnitureness of an object.
Yeah.
You know, like Roger Ebert might argue that a given object can never be furniture.
Right. You're like, no, that is inherent furnitureness. Yeah. Yeah, the like studying Chinese or I guess several different Asian languages and having different modifier words based on the class of object and then having like 200 different classes of object is like just boggles my mind. Like
it's hard enough to do with just genders in Romance languages or German, you know, like I'm fucking, well, I would say I'm glad that English did away with genders of nouns, but no, I'm not. Like I wish that they had so that I would know them in German, right? Like because it's not like it would have been harder to learn English as a 3-year-old.
Right.
If there was gender of nouns, I would just sort of have this track warning
it would be,
that would make it easier to
except it would words that were different genders across different languages would be rough.
I feel like between English and German there would be almost no differences.
They would be
though.
Pretty identical
potentially.
Yeah,
but there are differences between Spanish and Italian, I think,
but not probably a whole lot.
I have no idea. Not knowing them, either of them, even close to fluently.
I don't know. Linguini Lad says, so are some presents more likely to appear on the Crimbo tree than others? The reason I ask is because I haven't gotten the sweater yet. Well, the sweater is absolutely unlikely to appear if you don't have torso awareness.
That might be
other than
problem.
That, no. Zortag says, I am finally getting around to doing the Agua de Vida quest, and I must say, it is a lot of fun. Great work, guys. Well, thank you. Tiny Plastic Yar says, in America, you is an adventurer. In Soviet Russia, an adventurer is you. The Kthrivan says, hey, so I was re-listening to your Jix appearance on the Adam Carolla podcast, and you mentioning you had about the same traffic as Adam, which he quickly denied. It just occurred to me that he might have been blatantly lying because he wanted his fans to regard you as a nobody and think he was better than you. I understand if you don't want to call him out publicly, but thoughts? No, I don't think... I think, A, that he's not the kind of guy that would do that, and B, I think that the... I was basing that on something that he had said several weeks earlier, and I think the situation had genuinely changed by that much, that he was suddenly... he was spending, you know, five times as much on bandwidth as we are at the point when he said that. Like, I don't think that he was lying to inflate himself in that context, because I don't think he gives a shit, right? Like, it's, you know, not that he's the nicest guy in the world, but, like,
it's also possible that his hosting is badly set up.
Yeah. But, I mean, we don't use... You know, it's possible that as many people play KOL in a day that download his podcast. I don't know if that's true, or it probably was true at some point, like before he had a podcast, for instance. But one of our people does not necessarily use anywhere near as much bandwidth as it takes to download an entire podcast, right?
That's probably true.
Like it, yeah. No, I don't think that's a thing that happened. Now, if you had suggested that maybe the guys from Penny Arcade had done something lame, I would have said, yes, they did. I have concluded that they did something lame. Given even a shred of evidence.
Adam Carolla, in a relatively recent podcast, was talking about how much he loves P.F. Chang's.
That's fucking weird, man.
Yeah.
How much he loves what?
P.F. Chang's.
Yeah.
Oh.
We asked him for a restaurant recommendation, and he told us to go to fucking P.F. Chang's. And I was like, are you fucking kidding? Like, what is the matter with you?
Apparently that was not just to blow us off. He apparently really likes that place.
No, I didn't think he was trying to blow us off.
I thought he was trying to blow us off, because, like, why would that be a real thing? Right? Like, I was so disbelieving that somebody would suggest that.
Yeah, I mean, it just made me believe that, like, wow, there are a lot of things that he just doesn't think about at all. Yeah. Like restaurants, for instance. And it's weird, because he seems like a guy who's, like, now that he has some money, appreciates the finer things.
But I think
to a certain extent.
I think it is him having been taken places and not him, like, searching it out, so I don't know that he's ever been taken somewhere.
Yeah, maybe he does not have the equivalent in his life that I have, which is you.
Forcing you to go to places.
Yeah, who will actually, like, you know, do some research on some good restaurants and go there and eat at them, you know? I don't know. Like, I always feel like if I have to eat at a chain restaurant that I'm, like, it's because I'm out of ideas. It's because I'm, like...
You like Outback?
I do like Outback.
That's the one place that I feel like you and I both will go that is a chain.
Yeah, that's true. And normally I hate that kind of place. Like, I would never go to a fucking Chili's or like a TGI Fridays.
And it's very much in that same vein.
Or Applebee's, yeah, and it is very much in that vein. But, like, there is just one thing on the menu at Outback that is so consistently super fucking tasty.
Yeah.
And, I mean, it's like you can't really fuck up a baked potato, right? Or a Caesar salad.
Oh, I definitely can. I've definitely, yeah, like,
you
left,
fucked up a baked potato.
Left it in the oven way too long. Yeah,
you drill a hole in it and fill it with butter.
How would that be bad?
Yeah. It's like chicken Kiev, only instead of chicken, you have a potato, and instead of butter, you have butter.
Do you inject butter into chicken breasts? Something?
No, I feel like chicken Kiev, you make a sort of you grind up chicken and make a kind of a burrito out of... I don't know how it works exactly.
I don't know that I've ever had this.
You do something that kind of... You make chicken into like a paste.
Okay.
And then you make...
Does it come in a tube?
A sort of a ball out of it. I've never made it.
Polish it?
Yeah, I've only had like frozen pre-prepared chicken Kievs.
Okay.
Which, basically, they're like hollow chicken nuggets.
Huh.
Yeah, I don't know. You know, I don't know. We'll have to see how they do it in Kiev. Perhaps their chicken stuffs you with butter. Dance Commander 6 says, Slime hates at chef staff. Come on, guys, please make it happen. It's like the best thing since powdered milk. But has your family tried it? Powder milk?
Is that the original Dance Commander, or is that a new guy?
I think at Dance Commander 6, it would appear to be... I don't know. We should ask the computer who is our friend. This could be the last one, and we shouldn't talk to him and risk anybody's wrath. Let's see what else we have in... Captain Spam says, will we ever get a story arc where all the Argonauts, caterwauling samurai, cycling minstrels, etc. use all the crap we're auto-selling to them against us?
That would actually be really funny. They've actually been building some sort of hideous contraption.
Chrono Trigger speedrun in... Whoa, 21 hours? No, 21 minutes, 23.98 seconds. I don't know if I want to. I don't know if I got 21 minutes to spare on that.
Includes a file corruption to get ahead. That seems.
Yeah, apparently the Chrono Trigger speedruns are looked crazy glitchy.
Yeah, that doesn't seem...
Martialis, like, says, sorry.
Couldn't you just, like, isn't it... Would it be considered a speedrun to then, like, take a game state and then edit some hexes and just put you at the, like, final state of the game 2 seconds after you start it? Like, why is that not...
Well, I believe that it's a thing that would have been possible with the original game.
I see. So anything that, like, theoretically you could have done...
Right.
Wow, that's weird.
Something that exploits a bug in the game is okay. Something that introduces a bug to the game is not okay.
Huh. That's fascinating. All right.
Martialis says, this year's April Fool's Day was the best day ever. I challenge you to top it next year. Everyone has teleportitis, all equipment has negative bonuses, etc. I will remind you. Cool. You heard it here. Martialis is the one who had that idea. Severus said, Jick, I had another dream about you. You may recall that not too long ago I had a rather romantic dream involving you. This one was a bit more odd. You, myself, and two members of the asymmetric news team got caught in the rain and had to take refuge in a shed. We passed the time by singing Hey Ya. I'm not even sure what to say. That's funny. I mean, I only know the first verse of Hey Ya, so I would not be able to pass very much time in that shed at all.
I feel like you would just do hey ya, ooh, and just repeat that infinitely.
You think?
Yeah, past time. It's a little weird how often everybody's popping up in everybody else's dreams.
I guess.
Perhaps it is signaling some sort of nearing of an apocalypse, perhaps in 2012.
Maybe so. Maybe everybody will just have more and more dreams about everybody until then, and then it'll just be like some crazy circle jerk dream fiasco. That'd be a good name for a band.
I was thinking the
it's like a cross between the Wesley Willis fiasco, a dream theater, and the Circle Jerks.
I was thinking it would be some sort
super
of
group
sequel to a Hot Tub Time Machine.
Reggie Neely says, can we have a button to refresh the item list and K-mails and stuff so that we don't have to copy out the text and repaste it when we remember that we forgot to actually get the item? I think that's a little too edge casey to actually have an interface element for.
Yeah.
Balance Tour says, this is in reference to Jick's idea of nerfing food and giving two permanent skills per ascension. This would encourage those not doing speed quests to run through the non-core quests and can be an additional currency if they're made saleable. I feel like he's talking about an idea without actually presenting it.
Nerfing food, giving permanent skills.
Concept came up in the forum thread about being able to spend instant karma to get another skill perm. Maybe he's suggesting an alternate currency that's similar.
Linguini Lad says, so how come we're allowed into the Clan VIP lounge in Hardcore/Ronin, but not in the ball pit?
Yeah, because the ball pit is
not in the VIP.
In the rumpus lounge. Room.
Yeah. Same reason you can't use the other rumpus room stuff.
Yeah.
SnuffStyle420 says, is it possible to smith a really, really sticky spider web with a basic meat kilt and get a sticky meat skirt? And if so, how does one do this? I don't think it is. I think that it only... That's that weird hard coding around that kind of joke that...
Yeah, it's... There was a... Somebody made a chart in the forums, and it was three of the recipes had make kilts, and only one makes a skirt.
Huh.
You have to do the basic meat skirt and be a girl to make the skirt.
I see.
Every other combination makes the kilt.
Huh.
So as a boy, everything makes a kilt, and...
As a girl, one thing makes a skirt, and everything else makes a kilt.
The basic meat kilt plus the...
Huh. Sticky it's possible that I didn't... Like, that some things went in later that didn't have the skirt equivalent.
I mean, it's also possible that we just didn't care.
Yeah.
The only sort of important aspect of that is recipe completionism.
Oh,
it's just not
right.
Symmetric,
yeah.
Basically.
Okay.
Somebody was complaining that they made two of each so that they could get it on both ascensions or whatever as a male and female, and... did not work out appropriately.
Parse says, for those of us without international keyboards, could you have the mall searches match non-Roman characters such as Bashos and the like? Yeah, I don't know.
That's tricky based on how things are stored in the database and whatnot, right?
Yeah.
Like, it is...
Because they're stored as HTML codes.
It is a mess even on our side when we sometimes edit items and stuff. Like,
Yeah.
It's problematic all around. It's not just something that the players have to deal with. I know that there was a request for the ability to put extended characters in scripts in a way that would be meaningful, because people are trying to match stuff.
Those people were quick to point out that just use an item ID.
Sure.
Right. Like that there is a distinct solution to that problem from that angle, and that's the answer to that.
It's just interesting that it seems like there's always going to be places that people are going to run into that issue.
Blizzbob says, "How about letting us ferment wads of dough to make beer?"
Beer is, while there is yeast in it, is not exactly made out of bread. Right.
Costillion says, "Will KOL ever have skins for players to choose from?" No.
There are player-made things that are
There's that, what is it called, Stylish or whatever, the CSS equivalent of Grease Monkey that they were talking about in the forums.
Well, and there's the familiar coloring project, the KOL. I think at this point the KOL coloring project has colored every image in the game, maybe.
Wow, really? I didn't like the ones that were just colored versions of my images, but the Color Familiars thing where somebody was actually making good, neat-looking colored versions of Familiars, I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if there's...
I like it when people work on things. Linguini said, when Linguini Lad says, "What would you say is the focal point of the fuckle?" Today I added alt tags to that section of the game. That was one of the first things I used my, image slicer thing.
Oh, yeah.
Now I just make you do it.
That is true. Have we resolved the issue with the... There's a couple of, especially in the new, some of the new sort of minigame type things, we've had some issues with screen readers. Yeah.
I don't know. I think that maybe we have.
I feel bad, because I feel like I've not wanted to take any of C.D. Meier's time away from him for the past couple weeks.
Right.
And so, I feel like a lot of things have piled up that people have been asking for.
He's getting freed up, though.
That is true.
Although now he's working on this database stuff.
Yeah.
Stuff. Getting data to sandbox without whatever.
Man.
Someone else says, "This whole thing about totally random things being hilarious, I think that it's important for some genuinely funny things to exist. As much as I laugh at the suggestion of faxing apple juice to each other, I think I appreciate the actual cleverness of a joke more, even if I don't physically laugh as much at it. I mean, think why Saturday morning breakfast cereal is funny most of the time. They introduce a situation, then the caption turns the entire situation upside down in a way you weren't expecting, and then the votee at the end turns it around even more so. I feel like there's maybe something at the end of Saturday morning breakfast cereal that I don't know about, because what's a votee? I appreciate the humor of Saturday morning breakfast cereal and KOL more than I appreciate Happy in Paraguay or the random recipes." Yeah. It's funny that the random recipe generator, while I was messing with it during the break from yesterday's from Tuesday's radio show, told me about the battered pickle. Oh, man. Speaking of something I was cooking and something funny that happened... this morning, I had a really interesting communion with nature. I made myself some breakfast, and as I was standing in the kitchen, looking out the window, eating my fried egg sandwich, this hummingbird flew up and hovered in front of the kitchen window and just took a massive shit. I had never seen a hummingbird shit before, but it was just this just rope of shit just flying out of the ass end of this hummingbird, and then it flew off.
Huh.
And I was like, cool. That This egg sandwich is delicious.
Same place your eggs came from.
Yeah.
Because it was a hummingbird egg.
That came out of a cloaca. I was eating a fried hummingbird egg sandwich. Yeah. I find that if I eat hummingbird eggs, I don't need coffee in the morning because I just start vibrating and don't stop. Your mom likes it too.
Also, you get a dozen hummingbird eggs instead of a dozen.
Right. A gross of hummingbird eggs. The only thing gross coming out of that hummingbird is this shit. Bulletproof says, "Did you build this city on rock and roll?" Yes. In fact, Marconi played the bombo. I don't actually know what that lyric is. Something about somebody playing La Bamba or the bongos. I'm going to look this up and answer this question once and for all. "We built this city" lyrics.
Because the internet and lyrics are always two things that...
They're always accurate.
Know each other. Right, right, very well.
"Marconi plays the mamba. Listen to the radio."
I see.
I had that album.
Marconi plays the mamba.
Wow, so now Ebony has, like, two girls in bikinis.
Yeah.
Sort of touching each other.
Yeah. They've gone back to it. They, like, backed off for a little while, and then as soon as the, like, Führer was over, they went immediately back to, like, hot girls.
The Führer.
The Führer.
As soon as Der Führer. The Führer.
Ah, we're getting ready for Germany.
Oh, yeah. I have to make a lot of jokes about baking Jews.
Bacon juice.
Bacon juice. Mmm. Delicious bacon juice. Ah, I don't even want to talk about bacon anymore. It's been ruined by the ironic bacon appreciation crowd.
Man, yeah. Did you see that one with the guy that just taped bacon all over a styrofoam at-at? It was horrible. It looked like a skinned dog.
I mean, I admire...
There's an ironic bacon appreciation group? Like...
Just the bacon. I mean,
I bag
bacon everywhere. It's I bag. Yeah, they're an actual organization. They register to the Chamber of Commerce.
No, when you say ironic, like there are a ton of people that I know that really appreciate bacon, and they get bacon flavored everything, and they wear bacon themed clothing.
Yeah,
and
but
stuff.
I think that's I
don't think that's ironic.
Okay, it's not ironic, but it's like it's
I
like
think that is the new affected. Sincerity.
It's affected. It's like this whole like oh I'm bringing chocolate covered bacon to the party. It's like you know maybe don't. Maybe don't bring any chocolate-covered bacon to this party.
Well, chocolate-covered bacon is actually pretty okay.
No, it's not. It's fucking gross.
Well, maybe you just got bad ones.
Okay, but here's the thing. Like, I think we were having this discussion discussion about the new sincerity. Like, I have a hard time distinguishing between people that are doing things for ironic reasons and people that are doing things for sincere reasons. And I think part of it is because I don't tend to do basically anything out of irony, right? Like, I don't understand the idea of watching a bad movie because it is bad to enjoy it because it is bad.
Right.
Right. I, you know, maybe that's a deficiency in me.
No, I don't think so. I think, I don't know, I mean, it was weird, you know, it was weird that, like, when we were at Comic-Con last year, MC Frontalot was like, oh, we gotta watch Troll 2, it's so terrible. Right, and I was like, "Huh, you know, I kind of did not expect out of him the like, let's watch this movie that's really bad thing, right? Like, because I kind of felt like the later in life it got, the more I sort of value my time, the less I want to spend time doing things that are just not actually pleasant."
Yeah, I mean, watching a movie that is so bad that it is humorous. Is kind of interesting, but I don't know that that's ironic, right? Because I'm laughing at it.
Yeah, I mean right? that's just Mystery Science Theater, except you're doing your own.
You're
jokes.
Doing it with people around. Yeah, yeah. I mean, that.
I mean, we talked about that. We talked about MST3K too, as like that is not ironic celebration of something, or not ironic appreciation of something. That is appreciating real humor about something that is bad.
Right.
Yeah.
We're not even necessarily bad. It's just, I mean, they can make fun of a good movie, and they can still be funny, you know? I feel like. Like, they could do one about Shawshank Redemption, you know?
They have done a bunch of riff tracks of good movies. Like, I think they did one of Casablanca.
Huh.
I haven't seen any
Casablanca
of the ones
Casablanca is not a good movie. I've never seen it. I was just trying to be contentious. I've never seen Casablanca. I've never seen Gone with the Wind. I have seen Citizen Kane.
I did not like Citizen Kane.
Wow, really?
Yeah, I didn't.
I actually really did. I was not expecting to like it, but once I watched it, I was like, you know what? I understand why this is considered the Citizen Kane of movies.
I appreciate Citizen Kane, but it was like watching the first Godfather. Like, I thought the first Godfather was good, but I didn't find it, like, amazing until I thought, you know, every other, like, gangster movie I've ever seen is based on this. Like, this is the progenitor of, like, almost everything else.
Right.
And so then,
like,
I'm like, oh,
Godfather
yeah.
Godfather 2.
Well, and so, and I feel like...
I've never seen The Godfather 2.
Well, you haven't seen Godfather 2? Yeah. It is really, really good.
That's what I've heard.
Yeah, it is really good. Like, that is... That does stand even better than I feel like Godfather does. Yeah, I would... You should watch it tonight.
Oh, should I?
Yeah, you should.
Do you own it?
I do.
Oh.
Yeah, I own the Godfather series.
Is there? Does it end in the same way that the first Godfather ends, with somebody eating a poisoned orange?
Uh,
That didn't really happen. Shantu says, "Tentacles smirk, please flinch the cocooned meat." In all caps.
Okay.
Icon 315 says, "Is there a reason that the Pike Pike still has the same combat messages? It should now have club messages instead of spear messages." I think it must. Scully must have written.
Oh, that's right.
Individual messages
for
the plexiglass. Yeah, so those probably ought to get defixed. Greenin 72 says, "Jake, would it be possible to add in an 'Are you sure you don't want to save' when exiting the combat macro page? I'm sure something like that would avoid a multitude of people accidentally hitting a link to something else while scripting. Also, good work on the combat macros. Hey, thanks."
You should take all the credits.
Yeah, that was me. Totally me that did that. It was C.D. Moyer. Evangeon Q says, "The new combat commands seem to need an at end of combat command trigger. Can you add one?" No.
At end of combat trigger. That's funny. Adventure again.
Let's see. Wow, Emmett21 knocked that shit off. Icarius talking about, the Malk as an item dropped by the rats in the tavern basement. Yeah. Shanty says, "Fucking magnets, how do they work?" Drob says, "Make a zone with dinosaurs."
Yeah.
Do a barrel roll.
Why don't we have a bunch of dinosaurs in the game?
I'll put that on my brainstorm list.
I don't know, dinosaurs aren't cool. I don't think dinosaurs are cool.
Well, really?
You don't think you're unlike anybody else in the world.
Yeah, I'm just not that excited about dinosaurs. I got on.
Dinosaurs are pretty cool.
I had a book about dinosaurs when I was a kid, and I was like, yeah, okay. I also had a book about robots, and I was like, fuck yeah.
Dinosaur robots?
I would certainly not put dinosaurs above robots.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, robots are better than dinosaurs, but like...
And I mean, we have a limited amount
the
of time.
The Dinobots?
I'm going to spend my time thinking about robots.
They were pretty cool. Were the Dinobots, they didn't join together like the Constructicons did they?
No.
What was the Autobot joining together one?
The airplanes.
Yeah. What the fuck? How did Autobots get airplanes? That doesn't make any sense.
Wait, there weren't Constructicons?
There were the Destructicons.
There were Destructicons, but there weren't...
There weren't
there wasn't like Happy Yellow Bulldozer Bot?
I don't know. There were the Insecticons. Did you play with the Insecticons at all?
No. I had one Dinobot.
Yeah.
Like Stegosaurus Dinobot.
I had one of those. I had a couple of the Insecticons because I thought they were really, really cool looking.
You know what I thought was really cool was I had one of the three-way
The triple changers? Did you have like the spaceship train one?
No, I had the tank jet robot.
Yeah, that one
was fucking sweet.
I wish they kind of all were like that because those were really versatile toys. You could play with them in lots of different modes. Yeah. Yeah, no, I thought the triple changers were awesome.
Very cleverly engineered little things. GoBots.
I had GoBots. I had a bunch of GoBots.
I had one GoBot.
They were not nearly as cool as Transformers.
No, they weren't. I recall that my GoBot being made of metal.
Yeah.
My GoBot is made of metal. I dos mujeres en la casina. I remember this stand-up comic from when I was in, junior high, doing the stand-up routine about how he only remembered two things from high school Spanish class, and one of them was, "El tocadiscos está descompuesto. The record player is broken." And the other one is, "Hay dos mujeres en la cocina. There are two women in the kitchen." And for whatever fucking reason, I can never forget that.
You also have the, you probably said it on the radio before, but the rhyme that is the same in English as it is in Spanish.
Yeah. So we're gonna let people just use their imagination on that.
Okay.
I also remember several mnemonics that I came up with in junior high and high school to remember different things that I'll just never be able to forget now, the symbol on the periodic table for antimony is SB. And I remember that because a lot of people would join the Navy and get assigned to a submarine so that they wouldn't have to pay alimony.
Wow.
Yeah, SB, antimony.
Wow.
And I know that llegar means to arrive in Spanish because when the gar arrive at a lake, they say, yay!
Wow. I remembered that iron is FE because giants are strong and they say fee-fi-fo-fum.
Mm-hmm.
There's a similar one for lead being PB, but I don't remember what it was.
You just imagine a lead and jelly sandwich.
I think I have forgotten a lot of mnemonics, which honestly, it sounds like I'm glad to have, given your experiences.
Death Sausage says, "Hey, could you make the next Uncle P's map come from something that doesn't start with antique? It makes it hard to slash buy antidotes." No.
Anted.
Just no, because it has to be anti, because it's anti. You have to slash by anti dash, right?
Right. That's funny.
That is a funny joke. Okay. Stupak says, "So here's a proposal. There are a lot of reasons why people would want the combat macro system to know a monster's remaining HP. Crisis, MP-efficient scripting, etc. And as it stands right now, it's basically impossible to do so in a satisfying way. Eventually, something like Mafia could use the API thingy CDM wrote to do a macro in several server communications, but that still requires a third-party tool in several server communications, which defeats the purpose a bit. However, just adding in the info would be too spoilery and is philosophically challenging, so how about a compromise? Add another puzzle, something like the Dwarf Factory, that gives you a monster almanac that you can use in conjunction with the dwarf rewards to denote attack/defense/HP for every monster you fight with various things equipped, and then you can free pull it, and it gives you access to the info during an ascension, and presumably from a script. Thoughts?" That is a lot of fucking data storage for a very...
niche.
Very niche use.
Yeah.
It's kind of a cool idea.
That idea is way better than the...
Well, but that idea was proposed. I mean, I feel like Darth Dud wrote that into a thing very, very early in the discussion in that thread. Like
some sort of like content approach.
Yeah. Basically, because I think they were channeling me in arguing against their ideas before I had even heard them, right? So,
like, yeah, the notion of just putting it in there flat out is something that I think we will never be interested in doing.
That, no way.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, the idea, we clearly have been giving people more and more information.
Yeah.
And having that sort of be an interesting but potentially arduous quest would be, like, you know...
Well, I mean, yeah, but what are the chances of it turning into another Bounty Hunter, where everyone is like, "Well, goddamn it! Now I can't play the game until I've finished all this data collection."
Everybody seemed to believe that they didn't actually mind doing it. If it just
until they had to
fight
do it
all of them once, yeah. I mean, I don't know.
What if it was? What if it was just an almanac that you could write numbers into, and so if you really wanted to, you could just copy and paste from somebody else's almanac. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah. No. No.
Yeah.
we should rediscuss this next month, next week, next year, when there's time.
We're not going to do anything for the next couple weeks to the combat macros, except for fix bugs, I think.
Yeah. I think adding new features is only going to multiply the rate at which new bugs get introduced.
It is interesting to me how many bugs in combat we've found that had been potentially there for months or years.
Yeah.
Because
the scripts allowed you to just, basically URL inject things.
Yeah, people had not tried. And it was, interesting. It's just interesting.
Spleenmaster wrote, "In Tron 2.0, the game, the player character Jet is Alan's son, not Flynn's. So the game and comics could be canon."
Huh.
Phenomenal game, by the way. It's the only RPG shooter I've finished more than once. Yeah, I cannot recommend Tron 2.0 highly enough. I fucking loved it.
I've not played it still.
You should.
You have. There's a Mac version somewhere.
Yeah,
there,
but it's a pre-Intel Mac.
Yeah, I have my laptop. Intel, which makes me sad.
Huh. I have my laptop, which is pre-Intel.
Maybe you could run Windows and run a Mac emulator on boot camp in Windows.
It's possible.
To play the old version, yeah.
It's significantly into April, and Valve has not released its catalog.
Wine.
I've been working really hard so that I can feel okay about not working for a couple days.
You haven't worked hard enough, buddy.
What are you talking about?
Okay, you've worked hard enough, buddy. All right, I think we're done. We didn't even take a music break. We were so enthusiastic.
You were serious.
I have to pee now.
You really have to pee?
I really need some water.
I really need some more whiskey. Luckily, I've got it right here in front of me. I don't even have to get up. I don't even have to stop being on the radio to drink more whiskey.
Yeah, the fact that you installed a bar into the same desk
that
you
broadcast. That's crazy. And I like how a bar, I've like got this W.C. Fields thing where he'd keep a bottle of gin in the freezer in case he's walking past the freezer and wanted a martini. Just take a swig from the bottle of gin. I've got a bar installed at my desk here, which is just a bottle of whiskey.
Yeah, well, that's all you need.
All right, well, we'll see you guys. I don't know if it is next week, but the Monday show is switching back to Monday.
Oh.
Scully's wife is done with whatever thing she was doing. Dildo sales. Dildo testing. She was sad that they were testing dildos on animals, so she volunteered her services. So they're just spraying dildos into her eyes. Yeah, I don't know, it's weird. Anyway, she's not doing it on Tuesdays anymore.
Did
Mondays.
You see the Modern Hobo Code?
Yeah. That was pretty funny. Yeah. Modern Hobo Code, everybody. Look it up. It's pretty funny. Yeah. Available online at minimumsafedistance.internet.
Dot museum.
We'll see you later.
Have a good weekend, everybody.
See ya.
Swallow, slip in the reach of the eye of a needle, as easy as being a camel to heaven, and granny, for judging the blubber, the pimple, and plasma, and it's all under the